such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Dear God, we thank You for this opportunity where we can ponder upon Your Word. And we just pray, dear God, that may You will use these words to enlighten us, to inspire us, so that when we get out of this room, we will be filled with Your power and Your glory. Glory that radiates to everyone that You want us to come across with. Let Your Spirit be free now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. How are you today? Are you not happy that you're here?
Amen.
We should be happy that we are here, you know? Every time the Lord gathered us together, we should be very happy because it's an opportunity where we can enjoy His presence. Don't you know that the presence of the Lord is everywhere, but there are only few experience it? Maybe a lot of people understood it, but not necessarily experiencing it. But when we come together and worship the Lord and put God the center of our heart, then we experience Him in fellowship. Had you had in your life experience a tax on your shoe? That probably would poke a skin on your feet. Have you experienced that? Oh, thank you. Day one, I can relate to that. Okay? How would you feel having that tax continuously poking your feet? I don't think you would like that to be there in your entire life, would you? Nope. The reason is that you don't want that pain to be there all the time. Okay? Today, I want to share a message of God to you. Can I stand here? Right? Too tall for me. Sometimes I ask the Lord, Lord, why You made me short? And when I visit churches, you know, and they had big pastors and tall pastors, and their pulpit is as tall as this. I said, man, that's embarrassing. It's good to be here, right? You can see me very well. Yeah. I want to share to you a message, and I would like to title it, The Pain of Staying the Same. Just imagine the tax there all the time. And what pain you would have if it will not be removed. We as Christians had been blessed. I don't know if you understand that fully well, but I know you learned that. We are fully blessed because of the salvation that God gave to us. Although I am not very sure if you really understand that salvation that you received. But today I want to share more on that, you know, so that we would be able to appreciate the greatness of the love of God and the grace of God and the salvation that He gave to us. I'm a Baptist preacher, so I always give three subtitles in my message. So I hope you can bear with me on that. Pastor told me that he asked me, how long do you preach? I said, it depends. if I am invited, and sometimes, you know, I am inspired, I can preach more than an hour. Oh, it's 12 o'clock already. Is that right? We used to depart. You know, I mean to disperse after 12 o'clock, at least 12:15, you know. So I don't know if I can finish this. But I will give you three anyhow, okay? They said that we are going to have fellowship at the fellowship hall, so I think we can stay longer, huh? Okay. All right. You know, it's hard to preach when you are invited once in a while. You know what? Because you know a lot of things to share. You know, and if you are given only 15 minutes, you know, the congregation is happy, but the preachers is not. Let's try to be happy, okay? And let's try to enjoy this wonderful fellowship that we have. Three things I want to share of the pain of staying the same. One, staying the same is painful because, one, it opposes the nature of your conversion. Then second, staying the same is painful because it opposes the process of your transformation. And finally, staying the same is painful because it opposes the process of your perfection. In fact, we can go home, right? You got all the message already. So I will not spend too much there. But you know, in the passage we have read, especially in verse 18, this is what Paul said, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." The word "with unveiled face," beholding the glory of the Lord, is very, very synonymous to the word conversion, the word born again. You know, unveiled faces. That means everyone who does not know the Lord cannot recognize the Lord. Only those who experience a transforming conversion with God can see God. So with open eyes, that means unveiled, you know. I don't know if any one of you had been blind. No. Good. When I was in my college days, I pastored a small church. And our guitarist is a blind lady. Probably I was 20 years old at the time, and she's probably around 40s like that. But she is blind. But she can really play a good guitar. She comes early in the church, and every time I arrive there, she noticed me. So one time, I greeted her, and she told me, "You know, Pastor, you are so handsome." I was so happy, you know. I was so happy. Because somebody told me I was handsome. Okay. Can you just imagine if she can see? What would he tell me? That's not the issue. I'm kidding. Okay. But I mean, there is a lot of problem when you cannot see. You know, you cannot appreciate a lot. Probably you can sense how good is your surrounding, but you cannot really visualize and, you know, experience how good, how beautiful is your surrounding. When we were away from the Lord and we lost from the presence of the Lord, we cannot appreciate God in our life. It's not uncommon, because how many people in this world appreciates God? Very, very few. Yeah. How many people are there doing their own business outside or everywhere? And how many people are inside the church? Why you appreciate God and why you devote your life, your time here today in this church, while you can do a lot of fun outside? The reason is that you have and unveiled eyes. And you can see the beauty that God had prepared for you. When a person is converted to God, the veil of ignorance is taken away. It's taken away. The blindness of the mind and the hardness of the heart is cured. That happened to you when you became a Christian. I want you to understand this deeper, you know, that our salvation is not just a simple experience of, I believe God. It's not just a simple experience of, I have religion. It's not just an experience of having, I need to go to church on Sunday. You know, if you only understand the magnitude of your salvation or the salvation that God gave to you, I wish you would appreciate God in that. And this one I want to say. God brought us back before His presence. I do not know if you understand that without God, we are nothing. We are away from Him and we cannot experience Him whatsoever. The reason why we cannot is this. The Bible said we have sinned, okay? And because of that sin, we cannot fellowship. We cannot pay the cost of that sin. We cannot afford. You know? Because we become mortal, and here's God, immortal. So we cannot repay Him. So, because we cannot repay Him, God decided to do something for us. And He paid the sin, or the penalty of our sin. That is your experience of justification. You are now justified. You are released. The penalty of your sin is gone. But think about this. So what's good about that? If the penalty of your sin is gone, so what's good about that? I'm a human being. I'm still a human being. That's why God did not only said that your sins are forgiven. He did not only said that you are justified. He did more than justifying you. And you know what was that? He regenerated you. In the process of regeneration, God restored unto you the spirit that was lost. The spirit that was not there, that hinders our fellowship with Him, He restored it back to you. So He did not only forgive you, He did not only pay the penalty of your sin, He restored your spirit. That's why you can sense God in your life now. That's why you can desire to fellowship with Him, because you have now the Spirit of God in you. So, just being forgiven is not enough, because you can just roam around and you are still physical, you are still immortal, and you still cannot fellowship God because, you're a human being. The problem of being restored into the Spirit of God is not yet there. But because of the experience of salvation, He regenerated you. That's why He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is the regeneration experience. He gave you a new spiritual vitality. Okay? So now you are forgiven. Now you have a spirit. God could have said, okay, enjoy your life. But He did not stop there. He did not stop there. Because you know why? Even if the Lord had forgiven you, and even if the Lord had given you a spiritual vitality, that is still not enough. You know why? Because you do not have anything with God. He is God. You are a human being. If he don't cares, you can go on your way. But you know what? God did not say that.
This is what he said. I adopted you.
Did you see the three experiences of salvation, of conversion? He paid the penalty of our sin, so we are pardoned. The judgment against us was gone. He gave us the Spirit, so we can fellowship with Him. We can talk to Him. We can enjoy His presence. He did not end there. He adopted us so that we can go back into His family. So we can be reunited into His family. That you will now become children of God. In John 1:12, to those who believe, become the children of God. He gave you the right to become a child of God. That is the process of your conversion. Now, when you are converted and you had been forgiven and the Spirit of the Lord is in you, and then you are now a child of God, you cannot stay the same as it used to be when you do not have God in your life. Because if you don't change, you are not there in the purpose of God. That's why He converted you, so that He can change you to conform into His image and into His likeness. So that unveiled eyes or unveiled face can now experience the presence of the Lord and enjoy the Spirit of the Lord day after day. Not only when you enter this building, but wherever you go. Had you remember Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman? And the woman said, Oh, excuse me, you are a Jew. I am a Samaritan. And the Jews are worshiping on that mountain, and we are worshiping in this mountain. You know what Jesus told that lady? Hey, lady, listen to me. He said, the day will come, and that day is now, when a true worshiper will no longer worship in that mountain and on that mountain, but a true worshiper will you worship God in what? In spirit and in truth. That is the work of God. Now you are not going there, nor going there, but you will be with God, and God is with you wherever you go. When He ascended back to heaven, He called His disciples and said, this must happen, because until I ascended back to heaven, the Comforter will not come. And the temple will no longer be built in Jerusalem. It will be built in your heart. So it's impossible for you to stay the same. You owe to change. Second, staying the same is painful because it opposes the process of our transformation. In the text we read, it says there, we are being transformed into the same image as Christ. We are being transformed. Salvation begins when we told Him, Lord God, I know I am a sinner. I know I cannot save myself. I need You to save me. And now I give this life to You. Then God said, I will give you a new spirit. From there, He changed you. But it did not end there. That was good enough. Especially for a thief on the cross, that was good enough. But to you who are still alive, it is not yet done. Because that was only the beginning of a continuous transformation of our life. Okay? We call that the process of transformation, or in theological term, they call that sanctification. And you know what that sanctification means? That means it is a continuing work of God in the life of the believer.
making you actually holy. You would say, what?
I know I sin a lot. You experience that? I know, oh,
I am a sinner. How could God make me holy?
Yeah, right. You're right. You are a sinner. And you cannot make yourself holy too.
But the God who saved you, the God who promised to change your life, is the same God who transformed your life. He transformed you from having those bad thoughts and providing you with the good thoughts, giving you a new mind, giving you a new perspective of life, giving you a new ambition or a new way of living.
It doesn't happen right after you become born again,
but it continued. A lifetime experience.
When Christ said, we were called to become holy like Him, He's not actually talking about becoming like Him as God, which other people thought, oh yeah, we will become God also. No, we will not.
But we will become holy by virtue of God's own design.
The word holiness and the word sanctification has the same equivalent in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, when somebody is called sanctified or set apart or made holy, it could happen to a place, it could happen to a thing, it could happen to a person. Like for example, place, a holy of holies. That was a place set apart, made by God holy. A thing, have you seen an apron of Aaron? That was holy. Okay? Or a mountain. Or people, for example, the priests, they were made holy. They were human beings, but God made them holy or sanctified. In the New Testament, it changed. It's no longer like that, but it changed. The context of sanctification, the context of making holy, is a continuous transformation of our moral conduct. Our transformation of our values, that God wants to change our moral condition in order to conform into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to conform into the status that you receive. When you were not a believer, your status before God was enemy, right? You are an enemy of God. That was your status. When you experience a born-again experience, God changed that status into becoming you as His children. Okay? So you are no longer an enemy of God. You now become a child of God. Now that you are a child of God, your conduct should no longer be like the enemy of God, but like the child of God. But the problem is, we used to live like an enemy. You know what it means when you are used to do something? And you want to do that something? Or you want to do that all the time? And even sometimes you do not want... And I mean, even sometimes unconsciously you just do it because you are used to do it? But that is not you anymore. You are already a child of God. So your conduct should be transformed. And this is being done in the process of sanctification or transformation. So it is impossible for you to stay the same. Because if you stay the same, you will continue to suffer the pain
of being abandoned, the pain of being judged, the pain of being separated, the pain of being controlled by the devil and by the enemy, the pain of being deceived. You cannot stay there any longer. That's why God is transforming your mind and your thought, telling you, you are now free. The chain, the song we sang a while ago says, you know the chorus there, my chain are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. That's what it means. So we cannot stay anymore in our previous way of living because we are already transformed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's impossible. It's a painful experience to stay the same. We need to grow and grow and grow. So it's painful to stay the same because it opposes your conversion. You are a child of God. It opposes also your status being a moral children of God. It is painful to stay there. And finally, it is also painful to stay the same because it opposes the process of our perfection. Paul said, from glory to glory, he is changing me. Not at one time, but from glory to glory. This glorification involves the perfecting of our spiritual nature. You see, you have a lot of those imperfections. But in the glorification, it will be fixed, it will be perfected, you know? It will be changed. But not only that. According to Charles Holmes, he said, in glorification, there will be also a moral and spiritual perfecting of you, of every individual. Moral and spiritual. That is our destiny. Our destiny is the glory of God. Our destiny is the presence of God. Our destiny is fellowship with God in perfection. So we cannot oppose that, or else we will have so much sufferings in our life. Did you notice that when you know you are violating God, when you know that you are disobeying God, you can feel so much uneasiness there? That's because you know you are not supposed to be like that. Because you are being perfected. That's what Jesus said, as my Father is perfect, be ye perfect. He's not saying, as my God is God, you be God. No, he was saying, as my God is righteous, be ye righteous. As God is complete, be ye complete. As God is perfect, be ye perfect. That's what he was trying to tell us. From glory to glory. You know, when Moses came down from that mountain, he has the glory of God in his face. But you know what? He covered his face. He do not want the Israelites to see the glory of God fading away from his face. Interestingly, in our time, the glory of God is not fading away. The glory of God is increasing from glory to glory. That is amazing. That is the difference. To Moses, it was fading away. To us, believer today, it is increasing more and more. As we walk in the words of God, as we meditate in the words of God, that glory increase. So that every time we walk outside, people can see the life of a person that has God. He can understand, or they can understand why they need to have God, because it's sin in your life. That glory is visible. It is increasing. It is enduring glory. From glory to glory, from stage to stage. That's why it's impossible to stay the same. Because if you stay the same, the tax on your feet
will continue to poke your feet, and the pain will grow and grow intensely. It's kind of like the more you scratch your sole, the sole of your shoes on the ground, the more the tacks poke your skin on your feet, or the skin on your feet, and the more you experience the pain. We cannot stay there. We need to grow. We need to move from glory to glory. When Christ's Spirit and the Word of God continue to transform us, we will become like Jesus. Not as God, but as a human, moral, perfect. The God or the person who knew exactly what is wrong and what is right, who judged righteously what is wrong and what is right, who can just, you know, identify exactly a wrong spirit from a right spirit. That is the kind of being God wants you to be. You know why? Because He do not want that pain anymore in your life. God loved us so much that I do not know if I can really expound it more than what I have told you already. It's amazing. That's why there's an Amazing Grace song. It's amazing. It's hard to conceive, but it's true. Because you experience it. I experience it. I hope and pray, brothers and sisters, that as we wait upon the coming of the Lord, we will strive to grow. I do not know if you are really aware of what's going on in the world today, but it seems like the world is really coming to an end. Don't you know that in America, nowadays, there are already realtors that are developing a underground shelter? Underground shelter. They said that already, that had been in America during the Depression time or World War or whatever, but this time it's different. It's underground shelter. And they said they are constructing this to prepare for a great catastrophe. It could be man-made, it could be nature-made, but they were preparing. You know where they did that? 30 feet under the ground. You know? They had a beautiful shelter there, like a hotel, that can accommodate 200 people who could live for as much as 1 year without leaving that shelter. And they are selling it now. If you're interested, Vivos. That you Google the Vivos, and you will know what does it mean. Vivos. They are trying to sell it to the people, and you know what's their business philosophy? Why not risk by assuming that nothing will happen? Who knows if there will be destruction tomorrow? If you were not able to secure that, you may regret. Interesting, right? But that is not really where we're going. That cannot even save us. The word of the Lord and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is our assurance. I don't need to buy that anymore. I don't care. It's better there. Amen? It's better there than 30 feet under the ground, enjoying a hotel, five-star hotel-like accommodation for a year. Mm-mm, I don't need that. I just need to be there because that is eternity. But while we are here, God is changing us from glory to glory so we could be ready for that great day when He will take us home and we will pass in the presence of the Lord
and have our glorified body fully changed through the work of God. That's what God is doing in you. Let God do it. Cooperate with Him. Let Him do it. And say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, do it for me. Because the world is getting worse. Worse than ever. Worse than ever. And it's exciting. You know why? Because that's what the Word of God said thousands of years ago. Amazing. And I am so thankful that you know the Lord. But you know what? If in case you really haven't experienced that personal relationship with the Lord, I challenge you. This is better than a 5-star hotel under the ground. I challenge you. Do not just understand God. Have a relationship with God. There's a lot of people who understand God, but they do not have a relationship with God. Your understanding of God will not bring you in His presence. You need to have His experience. The experience of forgiveness of your sin. The experience of behaving in new spirit in your life. An experience of being adopted by God to be called His children. That's what we need. And from there, we grow. I want to close this. But before, I will pray. I will knock on the door of your heart by asking you these questions. Have you had that experience? If not, I want you to pray. And make sure that you have that relationship. If you have that relationship already and you are struggling in your Christian walk, I ask you, ask God to revitalize that spirit that's been there in your heart so that you may have strength to grow day after day. Let's come to God in prayer now. This is God's business in your life, personal business in your life. I want you to make a decision before the Lord because He is inviting you. If you haven't made that decision, make it now in your heart. I will not ask you to come forward anymore. Just there in the pew, make a decision and tell the Lord, Lord, I want this life to be yours. I need you. I believe in you. I want you to become my Savior. Say that to Him and ask Him to dwell in your heart right now. Because the days are getting evil. We do not know when it will end. Make a prayer. If you are a believer of the Lord and you cannot appreciate the transforming work of God in your life, God is now asking you to renew that commitment, to grow in God. Come on, pray to God. Make a response to His word. Start praying now. Dear God, you know the heart of each one of us here. I pray, Lord, that may you will hear the prayer of every individual. Thank you for bringing this word before our presence today. Thank you for the challenge of growing because we cannot stay the same.
Thank you, Jesus, for every soul that made a commitment to give their life to you and to let the glory of the Lord be seen in their lives. Bless everyone, O God, in the name of Jesus.